Today's Bible reading is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
Thank you, Reuben. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Please feed us, nourish us, and strengthen us as your scattered children, to live for you in the circumstances we find ourselves in. In Jesus' name, amen. We all face temptation, don't we? Perhaps sometimes we're tempted to join in with the crowd when we know the crowd are doing something that doesn't please God. Or perhaps at work, we might be put under pressure to do something dubious in order to get a promotion or even keep our job. Or in the current circumstances that we all find ourselves in with the outbreak of the coronavirus. There's lots of temptations we might face. You'll see that there's an exercise at the top of the talk handout that you should have been emailed. Discuss with those that you're listening with, or if you're on your own, have a think. What temptations might we face at the moment, given our current circumstances? Perhaps write some answers down on paper. So press pause now on the recording and have a think. What temptations might we face at the moment, given our current circumstances? Press pause. Well, here's a few that I thought of. We might be tempted to go out when we've been told to stay in. We might be tempted to carry on as normal when we've been given strict guidelines about what we can and can't do. We might be tempted to get too close to people when we go out. Love for others looks very strange at the moment, doesn't it? We might be tempted to relax on some things that are becoming a bit boring, like washing our hands. We might be tempted just to think about ourselves rather than be creative about how we can love and serve others in these extraordinary times. I found myself making a list of all the house jobs I could do if I needed to stay at home. You know, for example, strip the wallpaper, paint the sitting room, perfect the garden. But what about a list of how I can support and love others, even though I might not be able to be with them face to face? Am I even thinking along those lines? When we're out shopping, we can be tempted to think about ourselves and our own families rather than the wider community, and particularly the most vulnerable. We can be tempted to gossip and grumble about those who God has put in authority over us, like the government. And perhaps we look around and see such awful suffering, we could be tempted to doubt God's goodness, God's power, God's wisdom. There's a whole host of temptations that we may face in our current circumstances, and I'm sure that you thought of others. Well, this morning's passage helps us as we face temptations like these, partly because it teaches us about the nature of temptation. And the better we know our enemy, the better equipped we will be to overcome it. But this passage also lifts our eyes to Jesus and helps our hearts to worship him. And as we'll see, That's key for us as we face temptation. So first of all then, number one, temptation offers glory now instead of suffering. Number one, temptation offers glory now instead of suffering. Have a look at verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. So here we have the third temptation recorded in this section of Matthew's Gospel, and it seems to be some sort of vision rather than something literal. The devil takes Jesus up a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in all their splendor, their glory. You can imagine it, can't you? The devil shows Jesus the Roman Empire, ancient Greece, other kingdoms. And the devil says, it can all be yours right now, Jesus. All the kingdoms of the earth. Glory now if you bow down and worship me. Now, Jesus has just been baptized, hasn't he? We thought about that a few weeks ago. And as Jesus came up out of the water, a voice from heaven declared Jesus to be the Son of God. And as the Son of God, Jesus would one day inherit power, authority, and glory. Psalm 2 says this, he said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. So Jesus would inherit the nations. He would inherit power, authority, and glory. But as well as being the Son of God, there was another dimension to Jesus' identity. The voice from heaven and the events surrounding Jesus' baptism are very similar to the words of Isaiah 42 that speak of the suffering servant. Isaiah 42 says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. And Isaiah goes on to speak of how this servant would be given a portion among the great. He would inherit glory, but only after he had suffered, after his life had been made an offering for sin. And you can read more about that in Isaiah 53. Well, back to Matthew's Gospel. Many of us will know those very famous words in Matthew 28. After Jesus has suffered for sins, what does he say? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus inherits his glory, power, and authority, but only after he suffered. And indeed, because he has suffered, sinners can be saved, disciples can be made, and Christ's kingdom can break in to the kingdoms of the world. And so do you see the pattern? God's way involves suffering now and glory later. But temptation offers glory now instead of suffering. Now, shortcuts are very attractive, aren't they? I use Google Maps as I drive down to London for college. It turns your phone into a sat nav, and if there's traffic ahead, it automatically calculates if there's a quicker route that avoids all the traffic, and it puts me on the easier road. And so do you see how the devil is trying to tempt Jesus? He's tempting him with a shortcut to glory. He's saying, look, I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth now. I'll give you glory now without all the suffering. Just bow down and worship me. And this is how we're tempted too, isn't it? I don't think I've ever known a time when the glorious life, the life we all want, involves having loads of loo roll. And so we're tempted to grab as much as we can instead of potentially suffering a little bit by making sure others have enough too. Or we can be tempted to want the glories of the life that we used to know right now, the life where we could meet together physically in a large church gathering, or meet up with a large group of friends for a drink or a meal. And because we want those glories right now, we're tempted to bend the rules a bit instead of suffering the rules that are temporarily there for our good and the good of others. Or we can be tempted to go along with the dubious thing at work because that's what seems good for our career now, or providing for our family in the present. And the alternative, well, that would involve struggle and hardship. Or we can be tempted to go along with the crowd because it's good for our reputation, our glory now, and not going along with the crowd might mean that we suffer a bit. Temptation offers glory now instead of suffering. But the pattern we see in Jesus' life is suffering now and then glory later. And this is the template for our lives too. In the very next chapter of Matthew, we read these words: "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Those who are meek, who repent, sinners who recognize their need of Jesus, will inherit the earth. By grace, we have glory coming. We will share in Christ's inheritance, his glory. But this glory comes after suffering. Paul says this in Romans: "Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Resisting temptation, obeying God, will sometimes mean choosing suffering instead of glory. That's what Jesus chose when the devil tempted him. He chose suffering, the way of the cross, instead of glory now. And so for us, resisting temptation might mean choosing not to have all the loo roll supplies that we'd like to have. Choosing to suffer a bit now for the good of others. It may mean choosing to temporarily give up some of our freedoms for the sake of others. With friends, it might mean choosing to be unpopular sometimes rather than disobey God. Resisting temptation at work might mean choosing a harder path for our career and our family. I have a friend who recently lost his job because he wasn't prepared to lie. It may mean, in our current circumstances, choosing to spend less time working on our homes in order to love others creatively. It might mean choosing to care for those that we're isolated with, knowing that we could get the same disease. Obeying God will sometimes mean choosing the way of suffering instead of glory now. But don't forget, suffering, because we obey God, doesn't last forever. Jesus suffered and then entered his glory. We too may suffer for a time, but there is glory to come when God puts everything right. Well, once again, why not hit the pause button now and think about these questions, perhaps on your own or as a household. Again, you'll see these questions on the talk outline. I'll say them slowly, so you can write them down in case you haven't got a talk outline close to hand. So the first question to have a think about. Number one, how might resisting temptation involve suffering for you and your household? That's the first question. I'll say it again. How might resisting temptation involve suffering for you and your household? And here's the second question. When we face temptation, How does it help to know that glory is coming? Here's the second question one more time. When we face temptation, how does it help to know that glory is coming? Hit the pause button and have a think. Okay, so we've seen that temptation offers glory now instead of suffering. And secondly, temptation entices us to serve idols instead of God. That's the second point. Temptation entices us to serve idols instead of God. Have a look at verse 9. "All this I will give you," the devil said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Three times Jesus has been tempted in this section of Matthew's Gospel, and three times he has responded to temptation by quoting the book of Deuteronomy. And this Bible book concerns a period in Israel's history when they were in the wilderness. They'd been rescued from Egypt, and they were on their way to the promised land, on the way to their inheritance. But what do the Israelites do in the wilderness? They bowed down to an idol, didn't they? Deuteronomy chapter 9, we read this. Moses says, "At the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord gave me the two stone tablets, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord told me, 'Go down from here at once, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have turned away quickly from what I commanded them and have made an idol for themselves.'" The Israelites bowed down and worshipped the golden calf. And what was it the golden calf offered them? Well, it was glory now, wasn't it? Exodus 32, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Revelry here is a euphemism for what was taking place. This was a twisted version of heaven on earth. Glory now, instead of trusting and obeying God, who had a wonderful inheritance awaiting his people. Well, back in the book of Matthew, here we have Jesus in the wilderness on the way to his inheritance. But brilliantly, Jesus succeeds where Israel failed. When tempted to bow down and worship an idol, Jesus resists. Sometimes we can wrongly think of God and the devil as if they were on some kind of equal plane, you know, a sort of battle of the deities. But we forget that the devil is a created being. And an idol is any created thing that we serve, worship, and live for instead of the Creator God himself. Well, temptation entices us to serve idols instead of God. The devil says to Jesus, "Bow down and worship me." But this idol gets what the golden calf should have got. This idol gets what the snake should have got in Genesis. This idol gets verse 10. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him alone.'" Don't you just love Jesus? The perfect Israelite, the one who fulfills all righteousness, succeeding where Israel failed, succeeding where we fail. Instead of idolatry, he chose to wholeheartedly serve God and him alone. Not to serve God a bit and idols a bit. No, he chose to serve God alone. He chose suffering and the cross, so idolaters like us can be forgiven. Wow. So how does all this help us when we face temptation? Well, first of all, when we face temptation, it's worth asking the question, what idol am I being tempted to serve here? Great question to ask when you're being tempted. What idol am I being tempted to serve here? Because temptation entices us to serve idols. So, for example, imagine we're tempted to join in with the crowd. What's the idol, the created thing that we're being tempted to serve? Perhaps it's that our friends and their approval. We're tempted to love them and their approval more than God. Or imagine we're at work and we're tempted to engage in dubious practice. What's the idol we're being tempted to serve? Perhaps it's the idol of career. You know, this will be good for my career. Or perhaps it's the idol of family. You know, if I go along with this, then I'll have better job security and providing for my family will be more straightforward. Now, career and family, they're both good things. But when we elevate and serve them above the Creator, they've become an idol. Or when we're shopping and we're tempted to buy more loo roll than we actually need, which will leave others short, what's the idol we're serving? Is it material things? Loo roll? Thinking that's what'll get us through the next few weeks and months? Or perhaps the idol I'm serving in the supermarket is my own desire for comfort or control. You know, to get my own life sorted and make life easier for me. And that comes before listening to God when he says, love your neighbor. Or when we grumble about the government or doubt God's goodness, power and wisdom, what idol are we serving? Perhaps it's Western individualism, me, I know best. And having a good grumble brings glory to me and glory to my own wisdom because, you know, I know better. And what the government ought to be doing is this. And what God ought to be doing is this. Well, the truth is, idolatry is ridiculous. Bowing down to a golden calf instead of the Creator, who's just rescued you from Egypt, is ridiculous. Worshipping the devil, a created being, the slanderer, that's what the word devil means, or God's enemy, that's what the word Satan means. Worshipping a slanderer, God's enemy, instead of the good, powerful, perfect Creator God, is ridiculous. And at a time like this, we see how weak idols really are. Just look at stuff like sport and travel and money and education right now. All good things, but things that we can so easily make into idols, stuff that we can live for. Well, at the moment, we see how weak and powerless those things really are. So the next time you face temptation, stop and think. Perhaps before the temptation, if it's a predictable temptation. Perhaps during the temptation. Perhaps after the temptation, go back and reflect. What is it you're being tempted to serve? And just remind yourself how ridiculous that is compared to worshipping God. And finally, next time you face temptation, remember Jesus. Identify the idol, yes, but also remember Jesus. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted to serve idols. And he doesn't just know what it's like, he overcame it. And because he overcame it and went to the cross and suffered for us, we get to share in his victory. We get to share in his glory. We now have an inheritance in heaven that no one can destroy and no thief, no virus can ever steal. That's the inheritance that we have by grace. And so remembering Jesus and what he has accomplished for us means not only that we can afford to say no to serving idols, we can afford to say no to glory now, if it means sinning against God, because we have glory awaiting us. But more than that, remembering Jesus will also make us ask the question, why would I want to serve an idol when I have a Saviour who has won the victory, who is worthy, and who deserves my worship? Then we'll be able to stare temptation in the face and say with the Lord Jesus, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, serve the Lord your God alone and him only." Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee away from you. Well, here's two questions for us to reflect on or discuss over lunch today. Again, they're on the talk handout, but I'll say them slowly if you want to write them down. Here's the first question to think about. Number one, think of a temptation we might face during the coronavirus outbreak. What idol is it tempting you to serve? I'll say that question again. Number one, think of a temptation we might face during the coronavirus outbreak. What idol is it tempting you to serve? And here's the second question. How does identifying the idol and remembering Jesus help? I'll ask that question again. Question number two. How does identifying the idol and remembering Jesus help? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.